scared of dentists and the dark. I was scared of pretty girls and starting conversations. All my friends are turning green. You're the magician's assistant in their dream. Oh,
Riptide was the song. Australian solo artist Vance Joy, the track voted number one in Triple J's Hottest 100 yesterday. It's a huge Australian tradition, an Australia Day tradition, 2 decades. The Hottest 100, it's come to be known as the world's biggest music democracy, and the numbers would suggest that that's entirely accurate. 1.5 million votes from 170,000 people in 169 countries. That, ladies and gentlemen, is musical democracy in a nutshell. To tell more tales about the countdown, you're joined by Associate Professor Mark Pollard. He's a composer, music fan, head of the School of Contemporary Music at Melbourne University. Mark, welcome.
Well, good morning. Welcome to now, you.
had you tipped Riptide as your Hottest 100 favourite?
Yeah, I picked Riptide and Lord as the, and they came in 1-2, and
I'd gone Daft Punk. I thought, yeah, that's going to win.
Well, Daft Punk had a lot of representation. They were there 4 times in the chart, so they did pretty well.
So these things go a little bit according to plan. What's the secret, do you think, of something which will have that broad appeal? A song like Riptide, what is it doing that makes it so popular?
Well, it's a funny thing. It's an unusual chart because it is so broad in terms of its stylistic representation. But I suppose there's a classic model for pop song that includes a catchy tune, something that we can all relate to, something that isn't too long, something that's in a style that is relatively acceptable to a bigger cross section of people, and something that perhaps usually is slightly offbeat, slightly more indie, but might be ready to make the break to the mainstream market. And in a sense, if we're talking about 1.5 million voters, then you need to have something that's going to be broadly appealing to many of them to make it through. Having said that, there's only about 1,000 votes between number 1 and 2, so it's a pretty tight call.
Clearly it's the ukulele that makes the difference.
Oh, it does, and it's funny how those things change. You know, the harmonica was in and out. I think the cowbell didn't appear at all.
We need more cowbell.
And it does change. I mean, you think of ukulele and a band like Mumford & Sons, that sort of more folky feel, and that can suddenly push it more to a slightly alternative market.
Now, in years past, there have been pretty heated discussions about things like gender balance in the Hottest 100. How did we go this year with that?
Well, look, it's always a problem, and it's a problem in a lot of music from a writing perspective, representation across the board of male versus female writers. And it's I'm not saying it's better or worse. I think you have the rise of people like Sarah Blasco now, which is fantastic, but it's still under representation, I think, across the board. It's trying to work out how to make that stronger. It is an issue.
Now, over the years that it's run, the Hottest 100 become an extraordinary sort of document of the shifts in popularity and in Australian musical tastes. What has it told us over that time?
Well, I've got to say it's fantastic, and I was involved in the very first count, being older now, and I've been following it ever since, and I get the discs for Father's Day every year. I think it's because there are so many voters, and it reaches into a lot of the regional areas that a lot of other radio stations don't, and it isn't a commercial in a sense that it isn't driven by high rotation advertising links, sort of broadcasting. You have a pretty good snapshot of not of all musical tastes, but a lot of different sorts of musical tastes. So what it tells us is that the market is changing every year. It tells us that from the beginnings of the early Triple J counts, which did begin right at the critical point that bands like Nirvana began to hit more mainstream, that is the sort of hardcore, more alternative bands begin to hit mainstream, they were quite popular on Triple J charts. We find that, that alternative is now moving into a more mainstream sounds, and we find that what's charting in the Triple J charts will often shift very quickly into the mainstream charts. But I think most importantly, the diversity that we have in the Triple J charts is very hard to match in any other one around the world that does reflect this really keen interest that the Australian, I suppose, listener has for new music and diverse styles of music, which is really great to hear.
Oh, well, is there a chicken and an egg thing? I mean, this is a Triple J thing, the Hottest 100, and it reflects the tastes, by and large, of Triple J listeners. Are those tastes determined by Triple J programming, or do those tastes in turn form future Triple J programming, do you think?
I'd say both. I think if you track it over 20 years, you can hear at the very beginning when there was a groundswell, as I said, for more alternative music and quite a big following by an audience who was looking for something different. You can see that there's a lot of new music talent that is unearthed through that program and make it through to the Big Day Out and to the Hottest 100 chart. So but to some degree, there's an element of, well, I wouldn't have heard it if it wasn't played on Triple J, which is pretty important overall.
Yes.
But the other thing is that it's to some degree dominated just by what voters are looking for, from a local radio show per week to the, as I said, Big Day Out type thing, and also to the count. So, but even some songs like Vertigo, which made it to the 2004 chart, that's a song by U2, that wasn't even played on Triple J that year, but it made it into the chart. So you have these unusual anomalies and people voting who perhaps don't necessarily have a lot to do with the program overall, but will jump on board for the vote.
An amazing thing, though, that it seems to have become an observable, identifiable Australia Day tradition. There's the countdown, there's the parties. That the Hottest 100 seems to be here to stay, Mark Pollard.
You got to do it. I mean, the very first ones, the ones that the annual one started in '93, and the one a couple before that, which were I suppose all time ones. But those very early ones, they were based in Sydney and they weren't so regional. It was before the station became national. But even then, voters were asked to write in any way they thought. And you had all sorts of unusual things, bits on paintings and photographs and all sorts of votes coming in all sorts of ways. So even at that stage, it was very personal. You felt like you owned this vote. And that then has become part of the tradition. It's our vote. It's our country. And there's well over 40% of Australian content. So, you know, it happens on Australia Day. It's one of those things that you feel you can contribute to much more so than any other count. And, of course, now you have several generations that have been doing it since the first annual one in '93. And yes. I did it yesterday, sitting around the barbecue with some friends, Margaret and Brian, down here with my wife and Lorne. Big thing we do.
I don't think you were alone. Indeed, it's quite a thing. Mark Pollard, thanks for those thoughts this morning.
Pleasure.
Associate Professor Mark Pollard from Melbourne University. Yes, we were talking the Hottest 100. And yesterday's winner, Riptide by Vance Joy. There you go. Done again for another year.